If you'd like to turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, the second chapter. I'd like to speak to you tonight on the subject of total commitment. The meaning is to give charge or to give in charge or trust or surrender. It doesn't mean total involvement. It means total commitment. Man first must surrender, and then he can become involved. 1 Peter 2, beginning with verse number 21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls." Notice it says that he committed himself. He committed himself. He surrendered himself. Then, of course, we hear a lot about commitment and a lot about total involvement and so forth. The commitment to a cause or total involvement to a cause. But this is the only kind of commitment that is worth anything. It's a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and surrender life and service. There are some things that we are to commit to God. The Bible says there are some things that we are that we have committed to us. And so, first of all, we are committed to preaching the Word of God. Titus, the first chapter, wait a minute. Yes, Titus, the third chapter, or first chapter in verse 3. Titus 1 and verse 3 says, "But hath in due times manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of our God and our Savior." So, the preaching of the word is committed to us. And we need to carefully guard this commitment and take care of it. In 1 Timothy, the 8th chapter, or 6th chapter, rather, verses 20 and 21, "Timothy, keep that which is commanded," or which is committed, rather, "to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen." Then in 2 Timothy 1, verses 11 through 14 says, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." And there again, evidence that total commitment is involved in salvation and the receiving of eternal life. Verse 13 says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good things which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit, which dwelleth in us." Oh, total commitment. Paul was committed totally to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul successfully preached the gospel and much have been gained in the Lord's work because of it. As a matter of fact, much is gained today because of Paul, because when God's people study and read about Paul and his dedication and so forth, we see how far short we've fallen, and it should cause us to want to recommit ourselves to the Lord in the same fashion as Paul did, that we, our lives might amount to something as far as the Lord is concerned. Most of the world today, many even of God's people today, the Lord's New Testament churches are committed to religion without the Holy Spirit, Christ, or Christianity rather, without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, heaven without hell, and so forth and so on. The preaching of the gospel is committed unto us. The Lord's New Testament church members are committed to the gospel. And again, that command for commitment is that marching orders that he gave us in Matthew 28:18-20, and he gave it to the church. He didn't just give it to preachers or individuals. He gave it to the church. And the church should be committed to preaching the gospel to every creature. 1 Corinthians 9:16-17 says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is it unto me if I preach not the gospel." Woe is it unto me if I preach. Woe is it unto you. Woe is it unto me if we preach not the gospel. We go to Ezekiel, the 3rd chapter, and we'll find that when we don't preach the gospel and warn people, their blood is going to be required at our hands. We'll answer for it when we stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. And so we need to preach the gospel and be committed to preaching the gospel. The preaching of the word afflicts the comfortable. The preaching of the gospel comforts the afflicted, and it is everyone's responsibility to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to commit our way. Psalms 37. In verse number 5, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." If you want to be successful in serving the Lord, you want to be successful, then commit to the Lord, and he will give you the victory, and you will no doubt go forth weeping, sowing the precious seed, as the psalmist said, and doubtless, without a doubt, you'll come again, bringing your sheaves with you. Those that you have been involved in reaching for the Lord Jesus by preaching the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation. In Acts 27th chapter in verse number 40, it says, "When they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder and bands and hoist up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore." Paul was and those that were with him on the ship committed themselves to the sea, and it simply means that they were staking their lives on the fact that they could make it to shore. We need to commit ourselves in a like manner, and that is a surrender. We need to surrender to the Lord and to his will in our life, and that's total surrender, total commitment. We have the idea, religion has given us the idea, that we go to church in religion one time a week, and we've done our duty. God's pleased with us. God's going to accept that. We have the idea that we come 3 times a week and God will accept that. Go to a youth rally or meeting somewhere. You think he's going to accept that? If the only time you're committed is when we're gathered together here, the only time that you really are have your heart in doing what God would have you to do is when you are in church or around the Lord's people, you think that's going to amount to anything with God? I think not. We need to be committed like the Apostle Paul was committed. And listen, when we commit ourselves, the Lord Jesus Christ will assure us of rest and he will care for us. No question, no doubt about it. He cares for you. He cares for me. He cares for us. He cares for all of mankind. And he proved that and how much he cared in the sacrifice that he made on Calvary. We are to commit our works to the Lord. Proverbs 16 and verse number 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. No day is so miserable than the day where everything goes wrong. The best thing to do is in the morning, start the day off right. Start it off with Bible study and prayer, and our minds will be right during the course of the day. And the Lord will give us rest. He will give us rest from the troubles and the cares of that day. The disciples in Mark, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse number 14. It says, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If you will believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why would not we cast him out? Why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can only come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Amen. Nothing but prayer and fasting. Well, there's a sense there that holds total commitment within it. Because when you pray and fast, you're committed. You have to be committed in order to do so. And so, evidently, they were not totally committed. Our efforts that we put forth may not succeed because we're not totally committed. Something to that. And we should take heed. I know that puts a lot on us, but listen, Jesus took a lot on himself. And if he could do so, we ought to take it on ourselves as well. We are to commit our cause. Job chapter 5, verse number 8. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Job, he would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. We see some things that God will do if we commit our cause unto him. He will correct and chasten his children. Fifth chapter of Job here in verse number 17, he says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." He will take care of us in famine. Verse 20 of the fifth chapter here. "In famine he will redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword." And then in verse 21, he will hide us from old flapping tongues, or those that find fault and criticize, those that have to correct and shape up everybody else's life when theirs is in a mess. And so verse 21 says, "Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh." And then 5, also he will sustain us in destruction and sorrow. Job 5 and 25, he will give assurance of our children's welfare. "Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth." That goes with him visiting the sin of the fathers down to the third, fourth, and fifth generation. You mean to tell me that the kids are going to pay for man's sin? What's going to happen is the poor example that you set will draw them away from the Lord, and they'll have to spend a miserable life separate and apart from the Lord. And it'll go to three or four or five generations. We're to commit our soul to the Lord. 1 Timothy 1 and 12 says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Total commitment of the soul, both mind, soul, and body, need to be totally committed to the Lord. There were two brothers. They were fishermen. They were lost at sea. One of them was singing, "Jesus is all I need." His soul was committed to Christ. And he had faith and confidence that God would see him through. And you know what? Whatever will happen to us in this life, when we're right with the Lord, when we're totally committed, he will see us through. He saw Job through in spite of his wife and all of his friends trying to get him to turn his back on the Lord and get out of the misery that he was suffering. He refused to. He was totally committed. He stayed with it no matter what the cost. And you know what? We need to stay with it no matter what the cost. We need to stay with preaching the gospel to our family and our loved ones. We need to stay with preaching the gospel to those we come in contact with. We need to stay committed totally and make that the first and foremost important thing in our life, is spreading the gospel to those that are lost and in sin. After all, we're going to give an account for everyone that we come in contact with. David, in Psalms 23, he shows that he did not fear death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. He was totally committed to the Lord and knew that the Lord would care for him. To commit our souls, it requires repentance and faith. Acts 17. Verse number 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Totally committed to the Lord is necessary for the Lord to say unto us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We have the idea that if we just do our part, and our part is the minority of our effort in life for the Lord, then God's going to accept it and we're going to be okay. But one of these days, we'll stand before him and we will answer. We'll stand before him without anything to show for this life and anything to take into eternity that we might lay at the feet of Jesus. And we will, as we stand before him at that time, will be embarrassed, not only that, brokenhearted and downtrodden. Yeah, but there's no tears in heaven. That's after the judgment seat of Christ. Matter of fact, that's a long time after. So, he's appointed a day in which he's going to judge all men. What is his judgment going to be according to? The Word of God. The Word of God. Now the question tonight is, are you totally committed? How committed are you? The question really is, how important is the Lord and his work to you? Only you can answer that. Acts 20, 21, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, a visitor in our service come back and he said, I don't hear repentance anymore. Been to several different churches, different denominations. Don't hear repentance much anymore. Why aren't we preaching repentance? I said, I don't know why they're not preaching repentance, but we are. How long will it last if we're not totally committed? And that's the danger. That's the danger. All right. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believes, and then confession is made. That's the need of every individual. That's the need of the lost, also the need of the saved to be willing to repent and confess their sin that they might be forgiven. If we'll confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So the question to me is, am I totally committed? Are you totally committed? That's a question for you. I can't answer it for you. Because I can't see your heart, but the Lord can, and he knows, and he's the important one. It's not needful for me to know about you, but it's needful for me to know. And it's not needful for you to know about me, but it's needful for you to know about yourself. Are you totally committed? Are you fully surrendered? Is the Lord's work really, truly first and foremost in your life? Where do we stand? You know what? That's what preaching is for. It's for us to examine ourselves and compare ourselves with the Word of God. Don't compare to the opinion of man or the thoughts of man or any example that's set forth, but we are to compare ourselves with the Word, because when we stand in judgment, we're going to be judged from the Word. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, the Spirit of God convicts your heart, come to Jesus. What should we sing, brother?